Good afternoon, good evening, good metal. My name's Coop and welcome to the Spoken Metal Show. This episode we chat to Goodeath, a very new up-and-coming band. They're due to play the Leeds Metal to the Masses final this weekend, the 27th, and they want to look out for. I like talking to a lot of these bands that are just starting out on their journey and just beginning to kind of see what's coming through from the scene, what's erupting from this wonderful scene we have, and talk about other scenes. In this case, Leeds, we talk about the scene that's going on there. The Lending Room is where the final is taking place, and I really think that the Goodeath can go very far. They've got a really interesting sound, so it would be nice to talk to them at this stage before they go on to, inevitably on to bigger, greater things and play bigger and better shows. You know, they seem almost tailor-made to play Bloodstock. But there you go. I mean, this is one of the things that I wanted to do. I hope you're finding that these episodes are varied. So sometimes we talk to Brian Slagle. Sometimes we talk to a new up-and-coming band. Sometimes we talk to a more established band. Sometimes we talk to a promoter. I've got a show coming up very soon where we talk to Ian from the sound guy at the Outpost. And I hope you're seeing that there's... I wanted to show you all the different elements that go into the scene at various levels. And it's so important to talk about the new bands that are coming through now and how they're getting music and how they're gestating and coming out with their new ideas and more interesting ideas and their takes on what modern metal should be. And I found it's really refreshing to see that they have a much broader outlook than maybe I did when I was starting listening to metal, and they're listening to way more. That's one of the things that, you know, streaming services has given us, the ability to listen to many, many different forms of music and fold them back into metal and fold them back into something that we love and kind of revitalize it again. And I feel that Goodeath are very much doing that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them. They're really, 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 really different slants on some metal going on here, as well as a more established thing. They have a new single out called Scald, which I strongly recommend. As always, I'll share this on social medias. And I really want you to check them out and tell me what you think. Tell me, do you think they're any good? Do you think there's something you're interested in? Do you really like them a lot? Do you not like them? What do you think? It's always nice to get some feedback from the listeners. I've been getting a lot of feedback recently about live shows and being promoters and that type of thing. And I've got some two big announcements coming up very soon, which I'll tease here now. But it's surrounding those type of things. And because a lot of people ask, like, when are you putting shows on and that type of thing? And, you know, who promoters do a tour in Liverpool? And I'm a new band, can I come on the show? If you're a new band and you're an old band, you can come on the show and we will talk about metal as long as you want. No problems at all. Feel free to contact me and we'll sort that out. It's also nice to get the messages of people saying that what you're doing is cool and you're doing some good shit. That's always nice to have that reciprocated back and get that kind of feedback from the listeners of the show. Like I say, I'm going to tease those two big announcements now and make them a little bit later on. But for now, please enjoy my conversation with Goodeath. Ladies and gentlemen, it's really nice to be joined this evening with the fabulous Goodeath. Am I pronouncing that right, guys? Is it Goodeath or Goodeath?
Goodeath usually.
But yeah, Goodeath, sounds better, right? It's Miles and Dylan from Goodeath. How you doing, guys? All right?
All right, good, mate. Yes, they're all good. How are you doing?
Listen, normally I wouldn't talk about stuff we talk about off-pod, but I did tell these guys that I thought they were fucking ace. ladies and gentlemen, you need to, before we even get into anything, you need to check them out. Certainly one of the most refreshing sounds I've heard in quite some time. A real mix of stuff. And we're going to get into the stuff that you've got out now and where you go with it. But yeah, guys, I mean, what we normally do, let's start off in kind of familiar territory. We talk about the first music that you're hearing when you're growing up. So what is that for you two guys?
I'll let you answer first, Dylan.
So mum and dad were always into this, all like rock music. So probably like Nirvana and Slipknot for me, really. They're like the first bands I remember listening to, but then also first like proper band that I fell in love with, probably like Metallica, which I imagine is most people into metal, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you get the same kind of answers. That question's kind of like a nice general one to get into things. Yeah. But it's also interesting that, you know, so which albums are you talking about then when we're talking about Nirvana? Is it really early Nirvana? Is it like Nevermind days? Is it early Slipknot? Which sort of area are we looking at?
Yeah, it's like Nevermind and stuff. Nevermind and Utero, the best ones for me. But like, yeah, mum was always into them, so she'd always play them for me, like with Kerrang and stuff on. So growing up,
that's so cool to hear that. Like, there's already now another generation of metalheads that are influencing another generation of metalheads, which is fucking that's outstanding. So what was on the last show? I went on on someone else's podcast. We were talking about the best Metallica albums and put them in order. What was your introduction album then? Was it the Black Album?
I wanted a specific album because I remember I always go to my uncle's. He'd play like a lot of Metallica, so I sort of grew up with that way. So, but I'd probably say Master of Puppets is probably the main first one that I probably enjoy the most.
It's a solid foundation, isn't it?
Yeah, any of the first five albums for me, I just listen to any of them.
And what about you then, Miles?
Same as Dylan a little bit. I've got a bit kind of a less traditional kind of metal upbringing, really. It's more my dad's a musician and he's really into like soul and stuff. So I grew up listening to sort of like Marvin Gaye, Nat King Cole and things like that when I was younger. And he's in like a function sort of band around like Harrogate, sort of North Yorkshire area. And he showed me loads of stuff growing up. He's the reason I play guitar and all that as well. But got to about 14, 15, and Nirvana as well, myself, was a massive, massive influence as it was for Dylan. And I sort of went away with it. He showed me all the music and then I sort of went into heavier music and he wasn't really as interested in that, but I kind of took it and ran with it. And then, so the heavy music wise, Rammstein, Rage Against the Machine, Nirvana. The first time I heard Bullet in the Head, I must have been like 7 or 8. And I was like, what is this? Why is he so angry? What's going on? What's he saying? Mum, I like it.
Why
she was like,
so you're angry, Zach?
My mum was like, you're not listening to that angry music. And then my dad, he secretly bought me we already had a copy of the debut album, actually, I think. Yeah. And he let me listen to it like secretly. So I was appreciative of him for that. But yeah, Rammstein and Nirvana and Rage Against the Machine, very much where I kind of started. Like, and I'm always
it's only when you go back and listen to like that first Rage Against the Machine, and it was essentially a demo of first, like that first album, and it's so fucking good. It's so well recorded. Yeah. It's every single song. There's no bad songs, and you think,
absolutely,
couldn't have always been like that, but it was the case, wasn't it?
Mm. It's very raw sounding. It's that powerful, angry energy that you feel with, and they have it in within the other albums as well. But you're right, there is a sort of quintessentiality about that first album. Like, you know, they're all young at that point as well, and and just the anger and the power and just the intelligence of it as well.
And often when you hear albums, the first album by bands, that's been worked on. You know, they've messed around with songs, and there's been a certain amount of, you know, putting stuff together with it. But with them, there's that wonderful footage of them playing, I think, at a high school. And they basically played the album. And it's the same. And you're like, fucking hell, they just got it right straight away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, we were literally talking about it today. We said Rage Against the Machine. I think they played one gig and then there was an A&R guy there or something. And then he was like, do you guys want a deal?
and like side of stage for that very show, I think. Side of stage for that very show. And they didn't have a name, did they? They went through a couple of name things, and Tom Morello tells a wonderful story. He was like, okay, we'll call ourselves Rage Against the Machine and change it later on when we can't figure something better. Like, all these sorts of happenstance things that just made this album come out. Yeah. It's extraordinary. Yeah, I don't even think Slipknot had that, because technically speaking, their first album isn't their first album. There was lots of demos and stuff.
Yeah, Nate Feed Killed Pete thing, wasn't
it? Yeah. Yeah, and so he had a little bit of time to work it out, didn't he, before they got to it? Like,
Absolutely.
I think I love that when a band gets it so right straight away, because that energy then, as you guys will attest to this, is it's undeniable that when you hear that on record, isn't it? Mm. When you hear that, even at 7, you were like, he's angry, but he must be angry about something.
Yeah, absolutely.
It must have meant something. So when did you start there? Did you kind of find your own bands from that then? Did you go like down a rabbit hole or go, okay, well, if I like this band, I'll listen to this? Did you kind of move away from any of those bands?
So I still do it now. It tends to follow a process of kind of obsessions and then not being as obsessed with that band and moving on to the next obsession. And then later down the line, going, oh, that, I remember that band. Like, for example, do you know Ruben?
Yeah.
Super well-known band. A lot of people don't tend to know them too well. But I was just so into, when I heard them, I was like, this is incredible. I love this so, so, so much. And I didn't listen to anything else for probably like 2 months, like no exaggeration. If other people had music on, I'd listen to it. But like when it was me, it was just the same, the albums over and over and over again. And then after about 2 months, I kind of forgot they existed and then moved on to the next group again as well. But then a year later, I went, oh yeah, Ruben again. And then like listened to them again and went, these guys are brilliant. Like I absolutely love them. But it slowly got heavier over the years, definitely. My influences, Loathe and Deftones are two massive influences on me. I absolutely...
You can 100% hear that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I love them so much. Yeah, I saw Deftones at Download 2019, and it was the first time I saw them, and I'd listened to them since I was about 12, 13, and it was a holy moment for me, I will say, like, you know. Yeah.
It's really... that active, what you're talking about there, I don't know if the right term for it is that active listening, where if you are listening to something, you are listening to that, this band, yeah. And I am totally taking in this whole album, you know, completely like the whole thing, and always kind of fucking on it. It's not like you're listening to it in the background while you're cleaning the fucking house. It's you are listening to something like kind of, and that's when I think you get the most from, certainly when I get the most from music, when I sit and listen to stuff again. That, like you say, I'm the same way. I fall in love with a band, and just everything they've ever done, I just consume. Which is a lot easier nowadays. You know, because of streaming stuff. That's one of the benefits of it, is that you can deep dive and go, okay, let me hear the whole back catalogue, just play the whole fucking thing, and just work your way through it. You know,
That's what I do. It's very much what I do.
So, what about yourself, Dylan? Did it kind of move off into other genres then, or what happened?
Yeah, I say it definitely got heavier. Like I did, up till I was about like 17, I was like typical bands, that, like, you know, some like the sort of start bands, like Avenged Sevenfold and stuff. Like I used to be absolutely obsessed with them. Like I told myself I was going to get an Avenged Sevenfold tattoo when I was 18, but thankfully I never did that. But like now it's just like a lot heavier stuff, a lot more variety. Because I'm into like other like genres as well. Like cheesy 80s stuff is my guilty pleasure. So like got that, and then like from Blondie to Cannibal Corpse sort of thing. So I've got a lot of different sort of like inspirations.
I love that Cannibal Corpse is coming up a lot now, and they've kind of passed over into being acceptable now. I remember a time when you couldn't even buy their records, you know, you couldn't wear their t-shirts. There was a time when they were run, and now it's been somehow they found their way into being accepted. And I love that. I think that's fucking brilliant. Yeah. You know, finally we're at a stage where someone can just throw that name out and it's fine.
Yeah, it's not like, oh my God, Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, I think what we're realizing in an age of where musicianship, and you can see people playing and you can break down someone singing, you can see how quality they are as a musician. You know, as musicians, see that now, can't you? Like, there's lots of drum playthroughs of like Hammer Flash, Smash Face, and stuff, and you can see how technically interesting it is as well now, which you maybe couldn't have
seen
before.
I saw some like guitar parts, it was crazy. I couldn't dream of doing it.
So, when does it go for you? When does it go for you both when you go from listening to music to wanting to play it, to picking up an instrument or singing or whatever it may be? When's that moment happen? Quite close to when you start listening, or does it take a while?
Tough question.
I think, I started playing guitar when I was like, I think I was 13. I forget. My mum got me a really cheap Warlock guitar off eBay. So that was my first guitar. But it was like a cheap knockoff one. So like, little amp. Yeah. So I got that, and then I didn't really take it that seriously until I started doing music in high school. Just for like a bit of fun, and then just sort of grew from there, and then formed the band, and then
I have a running thing where I ask what the first band was called. What was the first band called?
Ooh, the first not high school band, as in we're called Original Sin.
That's all right.
It does sound like we're a religious band, but
oh, it's quite funny, like an Ozzy Osbourne tribute band or something.
Yeah. It's quite funny because When I left and sort of got kicked out of there because it wasn't for me really, the other guitarist in Goddef was my replacement in them, which was funny.
Of course.
Yeah, it
was.
This is quite funny.
What about yourself then, Miles? When's it go to actually perform, and you know, or are you just playing at all?
So as I said before, I grew up with a musical family. Like, my sister's really big into drama and stuff, and my dad's a musician and is in a function band himself as well. So there was always guitars around the house. I knew I was playing E minor chord since I was like 3 years old or something like that. And I think I got to about 12 and went, I should probably learn something else other than just these two fingers, like just on there. Like, and it was kind of in school, really, when I got to about 15, 16, because you know how when you're in school, every year in school has that band, you know, there's a group of lads that are in a band per year. That was, I was that band. It was a small school in Knaresborough. And so that, it was then, it was at school events and stuff. I remember we did the Leavers, my year 11 Leavers performance, and it was a strange affair because it was in a big room with all the kids on one side and then all the kids' parents on the other side and stuff. And I think we did Sex on Fire by Kings of Leon, and but that was the first time that a girl had ever come up to me and gone, oh, you looked good on stage. And I was like, what? Like, what? Yeah, oh, okay. Like, no one had ever said anything like that to me before, because I was kind of an awkward, chubby kid when I was younger. And then, like, that happened, and I was like, and it changed my worldview a bit. And it was like one of those moments where it was sort of that gratification and kind of confirmation that I'm doing, you know, it's that, the passion. It's just, I don't know. At that point, I could just, by then, I just knew that I wanted to be a musician. I think there was one year I wanted to be a YouTuber, but then I decided that was a bit of a fool.
You can still do both, I guess. It's still on the table, I guess.
They're not mutually inexclusive, are they, to be fair? There's a lot of musician YouTubers, but since 13, 12 years old, I knew that I wanted to do music, and I knew I wanted to do heavy music, and I knew I wanted to do music that made people go, oh, crap, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, swivel heads, turn heads a bit, you know.
I think YouTube did every band playing their high school a disservice, didn't he? Because now all you're seeing on YouTube now is all these bands being really good at high school stuff, and that it's like, oh fuck, you've raised the level for everybody now. You know what I mean? These kids shredding are like it, you know, at this school do and stuff, and it's like, there's no way I was that good when I was that age. Like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So When the worlds collide, then when do you guys kind of are you aware of each other? Talk us through, because you guys were formed in what, 2019, like pre-pandemic sort of time.
I'll tell you something. So we formed in 2018, but then started gigging in 2019. So yeah, it's like I knew the drummer from high school. Like, I think he was a couple of years below me, and. Yeah, so he put a post on Facebook like, "We'll start band," because he's really amazing. I was like, "Oh my god, I need to be in this." So I dropped a message, and then we start from there. Then we had another singer who I knew, so he joined as well. And then we got an old bassist as well, and then we got Luke, the current guitarist, and then Jimmy joined the band later on, and Miles has joined the band. When did you join now, Miles?
It's like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, so it was something like that.
Even that long ago,
except Miles is fairly new to the band now. I mean, yeah, but Miles knew Danny from music college.
So I went to music in York with Danny for a year. And Danny's actually in another band with one of my best mates, and they were playing at this working men's club in Harrogate. And I went along to go and support my friend, and then I saw Danny. Danny comes off stage, our drummer, and he sort of beelines straight towards me, because it's been about 5 years since we've seen each other in person, because I've been at uni for the last like four years or so. And we start talking, and I go, oh yeah, I'm really, all I want to do now is just work and just do music and play music. And he goes, like, he's having a cig at the time, he goes, my band needs a singer. And I go, oh yeah, well, what do you do? And he goes, new metal, thrash metal, just sort of a bit of things. And I go, mate, yeah, all right, yeah, let's do it, absolutely. And then it was only about a week and a half later that we had an audition, and I remember you guys getting all giddy because you liked how I sounded. So
you had to fully try out full band and
absolutely.
Because I remember, we'd been searching for a new singer for absolutely ages, so we're all a bit disheartened. I was like, oh, we're not gonna find anyone. We'll test this guy out, see what it's like. Can we get there? I'm like, oh my god, it's amazing. So I'm like, it's just going really well. Just been,
did you try and play it cool, Dylan? Did you try and go, okay, well, we're gonna have a band meeting and then we'll bring you back in, or were you just did you completely break kayfabe and just go, oh no, you're amazing?
Did exactly that.
it was quite funny because about 5 months before, we actually got a new singer in, but he wasn't really a good fit. Right this time, we'll give him a couple of requests, but Kamal is there, we're like, yeah, that's just like, asking now. We're not risking this.
So it's like, don't lose him. You've got the you've got the fish.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we need him. We don't want to risk it. So.
The vocals that I hear on the tracks are on Spotify now. Are they you, Miles? Yeah.
No, that's the old singer.
Mm. Okay. What's that like then, coming into a band, Miles, where you have you know what you want to do and you have your vision of what your vocals should sound like. You hear the other guy which is incredibly different sound and stuff he's doing there.
Mm.
How do you reconcile with that? What's your approach?
Well, there's a bit of a funny story about that, actually, to be fair, because the older singer had more of a sort of a Serj Tankian style.
Yeah.
And I'm a massive, massive System of a Down fan, which is one of the things that drew me to it in the first place as well. But like, I tend to have more of an aggressive vocal, like sort of Corey Taylor tends to be kind of like, and Sam Carter from Architects and people like that. And
yeah,
Knock Loose and stuff tend to be more kind of like my influence in vocalists and stuff. And obviously Zach De La Rocha as well. And I don't know. So for the first rehearsal, I tried it a little bit because I sang like the old singer, didn't I, at first, Dylan? And like,
yeah.
Second rehearsal, once I got the confirmation that they liked me and stuff like that, I tried to change it up a bit more because obviously hearing these tracks and practicing them, like, it was difficult to not try and sing like what it is I'm hearing on
of Spotify, course.
Because that's how I was practicing like these songs like for the band. I don't know. Obviously, it was, this is the most productive I've ever been in a group. And as we were saying before, they formed in 2018. So it did feel a little bit like sort of filling someone's shoes, like stepping into someone's shoes a fair bit. But me and the old vocalist have met, and he's a lovely guy as well. And like, you know, he's not being weird about it or anything like that at all. And it's just, I just feel happy. I just feel excited and happy and just ready to show what I can do, to be honest. Yeah. And really, really excited to release these two new singles that we've recorded recently. So,
yeah.
So which are these two new singles then?
One's called...
You go. I'll stop. Just get excited.
Right, I'll go. Right. the first one's coming out. It's called Skull. It's very excited because it's a song that we've had in the band since about 2020. But it's like we've just been changing it about a bit. And we actually started recording it last year. Then when Miles came in, we had to sort of change it with him joining. And it's like just massively improved the song, I think. Like it just sounds so much heavier. It's just having like a really great vibe, like sort of groove to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got another song, which we're not sure when it's coming out yet. But we've got it all recorded and ready to go. And that one's called Solace, which is a bit of a fan favourite for people who've seen us live. Because we have to do a wall of death for it, which is fun. So very excited about that.
So in terms of live performances then, Miles, how many have you done then with the band?
With the band, only one so far. And that was at the Metal to the Masses. It was Heat 6 at Metal to the Masses on Fenton. We've got another one. We're for Heat 7 on the 6th, coming up very soon in 6 days, something like that. Week yesterday, wasn't it? Yeah. Sorry, say the question again. I went off on a tangent.
It's okay. What's lovely, Miles, ladies and gentlemen, you can't see this because I only use the audio from these things, is Miles is really excited and really happy to talk about his band. And that's fucking very cool, ladies and gentlemen. In a world where people want to play are fucking cool about stuff, you know, Miles is genuinely, I can't wait to see these guys live. Your first show is a Metal to the Masters where you're playing against the best of the best in Leeds. Mm. And it's your first show in a band. You must have been nervous as shit, Miles.
Yeah, I was. Well, I mean, healthy nervous.
Yeah, we all were.
You were the nervous one.
Like I was.
I was a healthy level nervous. We were stood outside before. Yeah. Before the gig in the smoking area, and Dylan turns to me and goes, on a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you? And I go, 4 or 5, healthy nervousness. I know what I'm doing, you know, so, you know, I've got it. Yeah. And then you went, oh, I'm like a 7 or 8, mate. I'm like a 7 or 8. Like, the day, you kept asking me again if we were nervous, and I was like, mate, you're making me nervous. It's fine. We're okay.
Yeah. No, you can't take her through waves.
It's
an energy, isn't it? It's just an energy. Yeah. In the same way that you can be scared, it's the same thing. It's how you deal with that energy. That's something you should never lose. You know what I mean? If a band's telling you they're about to play and they're not nervous in some way, I don't want to watch them. Yeah, you know, absolutely. I don't care. You know, it's like, because you've got to, I want you to care. Because how the fuck am I going to care about your songs if you don't? So was there a point during the show where you were like, I think I've got this, or did you have to wait till the day after or the couple of days after? Did you have a point where you thought, I can do this?
I think there was a track that there was one verse where in rehearsals I kept accidentally singing the first verse again for the second verse. And that was the thing that was making me the most nervous, even though I know that wouldn't have been too much of an issue because the audio quality, you know, a lot of metal
you wouldn't have picked it up
anyway. And in that venue, it's a bit small, so it's a bit muffled anyway. But that was what was making me the most nervous. And I was just kind of like thinking about that, but kind of more excited just to kind of bask in the afterglow of it, really.
Yeah. Well, you got through. So, yeah. So, you know,
we smashed it on popular vote and judges' vote as well. And the organizer was the fellow that told me that as well. And, you know, for my first gig with the band, for being only with the band for a month, and also the last time I did a proper gig was in 2019. It was a day before Download Festival, actually, in 2019. And that was at Gorilla in Manchester. And that was only one song. And then COVID happened, obviously. So I didn't do anything throughout that entire time, barring like the occasional uni performance that I was getting assessed on. So it'd been like 3 years for me since I performed properly. And it was the most professional gig I'd ever done. But as I said, I knew what I was doing. I practiced it enough. I was confident in my abilities and stuff. And I knew that people were impressed by my vocals when they heard it. And I just kept saying,
"Well, so much good feedback."
Dylan,
full disclosure, was there a point where you were like, I hope he pulls it off? And then was there a point, therefore, that when you were like, he's our guy?
Oh, what was that? Sorry, like, Carl.
Was there a point where you're like, because I'm thinking you're just slightly behind him, playing away. Did you a moment where you think, can he do this? And there was a moment when you thought, yes, he can.
So basically, be honest, right away, to be honest. No, straight away, to be honest, because like, he's full of energy, and like, good at pumping up the crowd and stuff. I'm like, yeah, this is the guy. Yeah, but it's right away, I knew. That was like completely calm my nerves. I was like, yeah, back to normal. But I was just so nervous because it's the first gig we've done since the August.
Yeah, you were dealing with your own shit, sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, so yeah. They're just like, you know, fear of the unknown. Because like, I was also, I don't know how Miles is going to be like on stage because it's different at rehearsal to our gig. But yeah, absolutely great. So yeah,
it was funny.
Calm me down straight away.
There wasn't much space for me to stand on. There was probably about a foot and a half in front of the kit.
Yeah.
And then I think halfway through the first song or the second song, our bassist, Jimmy, his bloody strap breaks. The whole thing about him getting strap locked earlier in the week and that, and he's re-drilled the holes for his like strap nuts and stuff like that. But yeah, halfway through the first song, his bass falls off. And then, so he sat down at the front of the stage, giving me even less space to stand on as well. And there's obviously about 6 meters of cable wrapped like near my foot as well, like that, from the mic and all the mics for the kit and everything. Like, so I was conscious about not falling off the stage, to be honest, because with my big Doc Martens on, there was probably only about 10-20 centimeters left of space for me to walk about on, you know, like, so that was one of the things that was making me nervous as well. But I was just making sure I was it.
But those things, guys, those things, and you're coming to find us as you play more and more, is now you know what happens, you know the drill when that happens, and your gig is full of loads of those moments where little things, where this doesn't work or this breaks. Now you know when his bass strap fucks up, you know what's going on. Done.
Yeah.
Okay, put that in the bank. You're ready. Because I've seen bands on major bands, you know, all the way up to the top of most bands, I've seen them have those type of malfunctions. It happens. And that's why when you kind of play and you play a lot, you just learn to deal with all those and mitigate them. So then when you come to play Bloodstock, as hopefully you guys will, you're like, fuck you, we've had everything thrown against us, we're ready, what else have you got? And then you're like, you know, then that's when you play with confidence. But it's nice, like, it's weird talking to the pair of you, because it's like talking to you after a date almost. Well, Dylan's been out with Miles, how's it going? But it's nice to, Dylan, I hope you can see, but obviously Miles has a very respect for the material, you know, he wants to get it right. He wasn't just like, I'll just get up and do some tunes. And that's going to bode you really well for the new material and really well for the next sort of gigs that you play as we go off. Because you're just a very young and very new band. And these stories are all part and parcel of the journey, if you will. Yeah. So to the next stages then, is that the semi-finals? Is that for you guys? Yes.
Semi and the final, hopefully.
Have they announced who all the bands are as well?
There's another heat. So the winner, the band called
on Friday,
who, Miles. Yeah, Friday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, band called Master of the Crown, who we played with a lot. They're a very good lead band. Silk Spinster and a band called Black Falcon. So okay. We've played them all then before, so we know them quite well. So
yeah, that's always almost worse, isn't it, that you know them and get on with them, because you're like,
they're
really good.
On the next heat, there's a band for Metal to Masses, there's a band playing called Tempt the Mage, and the drummer of that band is one of my lifelong friends. I went to school with him. So it's awkward a bit. Like I hang out.
Yeah, it is a story. Yeah,
and we have to be healthily competitive with each other. Like going like, you're gonna lose.
That's what it should be. I've talked about this before. That's kind of what it should be. It's nice, and you know, you should be. If you don't get through, you should be the first guys to go up and say, you know, well done, nice one. Because this isn't the one and done. What you know, you have many opportunities here with Metal to Masters. One of the brilliant things about it. But What can you speak to, like, what the scene is like then in Leeds at the moment?
Brilliant.
Where kind of we are? Is it in a good place, a bad place? Where is it?
I think you're probably more qualified to answer that, to be fair, Dylan. So
yeah, I mean, I'd say it's quite good. Like, there's a lot of venues that are always doing gigs. And, like, a venue called Boom is probably one of the best underground venues in England, I think, which is like really DIY venue, which is really good. Mm-hmm. You got Key Club as well, which just always got bands playing there. And there's like loads of good local bands as well. Like a Shout Smell, like Breathing Below, they're really good. Autonym, they're good as well. But yeah, just like loads, I think. It's just quite healthy. But I won't say it's not as, there's not as many like, say like Manchester. I think Manchester probably got one of the best ones.
I tend to go to the Manchester scene more than I do the Leeds scene a bit, because I go in uni there quite a while. But
The Leeds scene is like, I've only ever watched it from afar, and it does seem to be some really good stuff going on there. Yeah. Like, certainly they have several heats of Metal to the Masses, so that's always a good sign that there's a rich sort of underground scene going on. Like, so it's nice to hear that it is actually really going on. So in terms of kind of what the next moves are, you know, so obviously you want to go through and get through to Metal to the Masses and what have you, and do that. We have the two singles kind of level kind of coming up as well. Where are we with then? How far are we from an album? Is there even an album being planned? Where are we?
We've discussed it.
Since Mal's joined the band, we've written like 5 new songs, which is, because he's been in the band for like 2 months, it's pretty crazy, I think. So I think we're planning on maybe doing an EP towards the end of the year, and then get that out and just keep writing music, keep releasing music, and just play as many shows as we can.
We've got enough material for an EP already, don't we, to be fair? We seem to record.
Yeah, we do. We're still constantly writing as well, so we've got like a double album.
That's one of the things I tell any of the younger bands that I talk to or just starting out, is that it's just keep writing and fucking writing. You're never gonna, no one's ever said I've got too many good songs. No one says that, you know. And when you sign to larger labels and they ask you where's the next hit, you know what I mean, that is a conversation that happens all the time. You know, where's the next song, where's the next song? And it's good that you're in that stage of the kind of honeymoon stage of having a new vocalist in and ride that energy a little bit, like, you know, and kind of go, okay, let's just keep writing then. And you know, not be too, it sounds like the stuff that you write, as I said off pod, I thought was incredibly diverse and original. Keep riding that and keep moving with that, because that's only going to bode you well to kind of lean into your influences. I certainly think Miles, the stuff that you're influenced by will lead you down a nice path and come up with some really interesting stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's very much a healthy influences in our group. Like, each of us all have our strong influences, and you can hear it. Like, both Dylan and I are massive, massive Gojira fans as well. Yeah. And there's a track that we've written recently that's very heavily influenced by Gojira, and it's got all the chugs, pick scrapes, it's got the fast, you know, sort of almost talky but screamy vocals at the same time, all like kind of environment focused a little bit, like, but love Gojira, and definitely some influence also as well.
This
will probably come out, hopefully, if I can be quick enough, come out before we get to your next heating in semi-final of Metal to the Masses. Are the two songs that you've wrote now, Miles, are they in the set now? Are they locked? Are they in the set or no?
Well, I haven't wrote them entirely myself. It's more just the vocals that I have written. Okay. Like, there are some tracks that I've been writing, and then like we always share stuff, don't we? Like, we have a group chat where we just send random recordings in. Like, we all mess around with GarageBand all the time and just do little riffs and stuff. But Oh, sorry. Say the question again. I'm on a tangent.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you're listening to now is two young gentlemen who are very nervous to be talking to an older bearded metalhead on there, and are worried that they will say the wrong thing or they won't appear cool. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a band that will, you know, it's worth looking out for. Guys, I think you've got all the right energy in all the right places, and kind of what you're doing with writing and how you're approaching it and your outlook, I think it's going to bode you really well. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll get them on the show again. Because you've just begun your journey, gents. So when you get on to bigger and better things and greater things, and certainly when that EP comes out, we'll get you on again. So not to be worried about you're still cool if I can judge you cool, because someone's cool by it. Yeah. And I think people, when they go and listen to your stuff, will be quite surprised that the quality of the work there, and I'm looking forward to hearing what Miles is bringing to the table as well. I think it's going to be very exciting, and
very excited to show it and release it and keep doing that for the rest of my life.
Nice. Listen, good luck for Metal to the Masses. I'm sure I will see you sooner rather than later in a live situation at some point. And ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful Godeth, thanks guys.
Thank you.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you very much, mate.
Thanks.
Godeth there talking about, you know, pretty much what it's like when you're starting off as a band. I certainly bring someone new into a band, especially a vocalist, and how that changes and the things that they deal with. Fascinating stuff, really, really interesting. I love talking to bands as they're beginning their journey. They'll be playing the Lending Room in Leeds with a Metal to the Masses on the 27th, and you know, every chance of them going through. Nice to talk to them, wouldn't it, after they, or if they, or will they, or when they go through. It'll be nice to maybe have a chat with them. We'll definitely get them back on again when they have more music out. At the moment, you can listen to Scald, which is their new single. I strongly recommend you do so because it's absolutely superb for a new young up-and-coming band. But as always, you know, if you are in a band and you want to come on the show and chat about metal, feel free to message me all the time, whether you're just starting out or you're an established band or even you're in a promoter or a crew or anything like that. Feel free to contact me and we'll get you on the show. Got a great episode coming up soon with Ian, the sound guy at the Outpost as well. Really looking forward to for you to hear that. In the meantime, though, thanks for listening, and I'll see you at the show.